It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from Devil's Bowl Speedway in Mesquite, Texas. Kirk Elliott back in the Racing Boys studio, along with producer Todd Surprise, hanging out with us today. It's always good when we have Todd back in the studio. Kind of miss him being hanging around with us from time to time back in the studio.
What's going on?
How you been, my friend? How's life been treating you? All right,
pretty good. I appreciate it. Yep. Got a good be in the studio the next 2 days, so it'll be fun over here.
Yeah. Well, Austin is not going to be in there today. He's up at I-80 helping Riley Kreisel with his sprint car, so he will not be involved with the broadcast today. But it's always good to have Todd around because
I appreciate.
The one good thing about Todd is I can talk about other things besides motorsports. The only thing that I can talk about with Austin is motorsports.
He's a one lane driver on that.
He is totally in one lane. He doesn't want to talk about anything else. He can't talk about football, what's on television, music. He's just so focused on motorsports, and that's what makes him so good at what he does.
That's right. That's what makes him tick.
That really does.
It does. And like you said, I wouldn't expect anything less from the son of two carb Hall of Famers and a grandson of a, what else would you expect? I mean, all of them have been eating dirt since they has been on a bottle. So I can't imagine anything different.
Well, in the early years, they were eating asphalt.
Yeah, there you go. Pulling asphalt and scraping pebbles. So yeah, I completely agree. Like I said, old Austin is one of a kind. I think, like you said, he's trying to forge his own ground in the sprint car world compared to, as you know, a few years ago when him and his family showed up at the Chili Bowl. I mean, at the shootout. That was their first time there, and
I think he made the A main.
He did.
And he ran pretty good.
I don't know if a lot of people know. John came up to me and said, "Hey, man, could you talk to somebody and find out what's going? What you can do, what you can't do around here, what as far as on the track and what you could do with your car and all that stuff. And because when you come into that place, you don't know it's
a whole new world.
It's a different world. I mean, even if you've been traveling the circuit, that Chili Bowl, and Kirk can testify to this too, man. That Chili Bowl and shootout, that's a different world, man. And so, like, when you get jumping into that type of a world, it was good to be able to say, yeah, I kind of showed him to a couple people, said, man, I sent Blake Hahn over there, and Blake sat and talked to him for 15 minutes, which is a good move, I'm sure, on everybody's part. Yeah, so no, how
hey,
you doing,
Todd,
Kirk Kelly? I'm sorry.
Hey, let me talk to you. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since last week's game. What'd you think of that game?
Oh man,
the Chiefs game.
Oh man, whew, that first half was rough, wasn't it?
Man, it was rough. But the second and third quarters, they kind of put it on them. And the one good thing about Andy Reid always figures out a way to get it done. And not every time,
no,
but this week it's going to be a real challenge, isn't it?
This is going to be not only are you playing a team that's good in every part of their game, but they've also got a little chip on their shoulder coming to Kansas City last year and 13 seconds away from a Super Bowl appearance.
And the Chiefs steal it from them.
That makes a taste in your mouth, and you can ask him. I mean, Patrick Mahomes knows that as well as anybody. He loves to have a way to just give him an edge. And like I said, if it would have to happen this week, I would not be surprised Buffalo come in there and hand it to us just because of what's transpired over the last couple times. And if you've seen the head-to-head stats, I'm looking for a good.
This is going to be the toughest game of the year, though.
Most 100%, 100%. And if you look at our schedule, it doesn't. This is the only thing that's really changed is the AFC West is not as strong as what everybody kind of thought. There's only two teams that are kind of really busting out of
no doubt. Everybody talked about the AFC West being the toughest division in football this
now
year, and I don't think it is.
No, NFC with the Giants and you got the Giants and Philadelphia and Dallas. Yeah. I mean, talk about a big game tomorrow. My wife's in Philadelphia for a big nursing magnet conference. There's like 10,000 nurses at this conference out there. And that's not a joke. That's 10,000 actual people there for this. And she said the whole town is a buzz because it's, you know, they got a big game coming in Monday Night Football. It's going to be, or is it Sunday night? I can't remember if it's Sunday or Monday night, but it's a big, you know, big time rivalry. But yeah, everybody thought that the West was going to be, and I didn't think that for a minute. I went back and looked at my predictions and I had the Raiders not as bad as what they're playing right now, but I didn't have Denver. You can't have a new quarterback and a new coach come right out of the gate and expect for everything to click right out of the gate. It just doesn't work that way. You know what
I take more satisfaction out of more than anything?
What's that?
Is seeing the freaking Raiders lose.
That game was...
There's nothing better than watching the Raiders lose, is there?
Yeah, as a lifelong Raider hater card holder. Right. You know,
both of us.
It's just, it is.
You know, I went to my first Raiders game. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Todd, but I went to my first Raiders game in 1972.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was one. I was only 1 year old. Or no, I'm sorry. I was 4 years old at that. I probably went to my first game around 6 years old, I think, is what my mom said. Probably.
I went to one Chiefs Raiders game at Municipal Stadium.
How about that?
How about that?
My grandpa had tickets at Municipal Stadium, and then when they built the new stadium, he had season tickets at the new one. And I got to go to I went to the Denver games and all the ones that the snow was so deep that nobody else wanted to go. So Grandpa would take whoever grandson would want to go that weekend. But, yeah, I tell you what, if you're racing out there tonight here in the local area, it's going to be cool. But, boy, down where you're at, Scott, not the case, huh?
It's not the case. It's going to be 91 here today.
Man.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in Mesquite, Texas. Hey, before we get going, I want to give a little bit of a shout out to a guy that passed away here in the last couple of days, Gary Terry. Not many people know Gary Terry, to be honest with you. He's an older guy, kind of a big guy, and he was always a fixture down at the Chili Bowl and the Shootout. And Gary Terry passed away a couple days ago. And all I can remember is that Gary really didn't have a lot of money, right? And you could tell by the way he lived and his truck and everything that he was just surviving.
Yep.
And then I remember one time I knew that I had this big, giant 4X jacket that was back, a Racing Boys jacket that was back at the studio. And I remember telling Todd, go by the studio, grab that 4X jacket. I'm going to give it to a guy. And I give it to Gary Terry. And he wore that jacket proudly, didn't he?
He sure did.
He wore that thing all the time when it was cold outside.
Down there by that door where he parked, it was always chilly and he has his door open, you know. And so he was always sporting that. It was that heavy, thick leather jacket. It had the Racing Boys old logo on it and everything. It was
the old logo.
And it was perfect. And, man, he, like you said, every Friday and Saturday night when he was on that golf cart or in that truck, well, you saw him with that shirt jacket on. And like you said, he was a good old boy. He had every tool that you ever needed. If you needed something, you just had to holler, and he had it. Like you said, Matt Ward talked about it on his Facebook page, his post, you know, and when I saw that, I was – like I said, I'm sad.
A little bummed out.
Yeah, I was a little bummed. Sad to see that, but glad to say I got to know him. So that was
he was a good guy.
He was a really good old guy.
Kirk Elliott, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. Just thinking about Gary, and he was the man down there at the Chili Bowl. Loved that guy. And
he was a good man.
He was a fixture, no doubt.
No doubt, he was a fixture down there, and. He had this truck, and it was completely loaded with tools. And any time that Matt Ward needed a tool, he would go ask Gary Terry, and Gary Terry would have it in his truck. So
he'd always have it.
He always had it. So, all right, well, let's talk a little motorsports. Last night, Kirk, Zach Don picked up the Extreme Outlaw Midget win at Port City last night, and that was a big win for him. It didn't start out the way he was hoping for, but he started sixth, and he worked his way up to the lead. I think he took the lead. He moved into second around lap 35, and then he ended up just working the bottom more and more and more and more, and he took the lead on,
with 24 laps to go, I think it was, something like that, somewhere around 24 laps to go, and he never looked back. He said that he ventured up to the top a couple times to see how that was working because he knew that the Rochelle was running up there, Gavin was running up there at the top, so he went up there and gave it a try a couple times, but he said it didn't work for him, so he went right back to the bottom, and man, he really did a good job working the bottom, didn't he, Kurt?
Yeah, he did. He was committed to it, and we had Brent Cruz working that high side, and Dom was able to take advantage on a restart. The only disadvantage that Dom had working the bottom is trying to get past all those lap cars, and he lost the lead to Cruz because Cruz had the open line around the outside to get around him, but after that one restart, Dom just kept working that bottom and finally got around him, and then Cruz ended up getting into a lap car and got upside down there during that race. After that,
I don't remember Cruz getting back around Dom for the lead. I don't remember that.
Not back around, but he had the lead on Zach Dom there.
And then Dom took the lead with 24 to go.
That's it. Yeah. And so once Dom got out in front, he just stayed right at the bottom for the most part the rest of the way and cruised on to the victory over Gavin Bushell. And Shelby Hinton had a great run coming from 21st to 3rd in last night's feature event. So I thought it was an exciting race to watch.
Crouch ended up running 7th last night, so he was able to rally back. Taylor Raymer, she ended up running 8th. Right there by Jade Avedisian. Those two ladies were racing each other pretty hard last night as well.
Yeah, I thought Bryant Wiedemann and Dason Persley might be two guys that could have something for Dom there at the end. Wiedemann started 15th, ended up 5th, and Dason Persley started 4th, and he ended up 6th. Probably a disappointing night for Dason. I'm sure he expected more than what he got.
The hard charger of the night had to be Gavin Bushell because he came out of the B main,
yep,
ran second in the B, started 19th, and ran 2nd last night. So Gavin had to be the hard charger of the night.
Yeah, he and Shelby.
Maybe not. Maybe
Shelby. Maybe that came Shelby 21st to 3rd.
Yeah. That's a toss up right there.
Yeah. But there was a lot of good action down there last night. You know, you could run the top, the bottom, and, you know, for as racy a track as Port City is, it's a really small racetrack. The midgets really work very good on that racetrack.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to see. I've got Lanny Ross scheduled to be up here, but I have not heard from Lanny. And I'm not sure he's going to make it up here today. So we'll just have to see if he does or not. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But I did put a word in to Zach Dom, trying to get a hold of him today, see if we could get him on the show, talk about his win last night down at Port City. 55 laps last night. Donnie Ray Crawford raced last night. Hell of a good race. And you know what, Kirk? The midgets put on pretty good action down there at Port City.
They do, and it's a micro track. That's you know why it's there. They run micro races there on a regular basis, but whenever you put the midgets on that racetrack, they seem to take to it pretty well. The drivers know how to get around that. So, and I like the track prep. Shane Stewart does a great job operating things down there at Port City Raceway, and all in all, it was a great show.
I want to follow up a little bit here, and just so everybody knows, I've spoke to just about everybody down here that has anything to do. I got the hiccup. Sorry about that. But I've talked to just about anybody that knows anything down here, some of the Edwards family. The Devil's Bowl has not been sold. So I want to get this out there to everybody. That Devil's Bowl has not been sold. They were close on an agreement. It didn't come through. So I still think there's a chance the old girl Devil's Bowl Speedway is going to be here next year. Isn't that good news?
That's absolutely great news. So, yeah, the chances are better than what it was here a few weeks ago that we will see racing in 2023 at Devilsville Speedway. I hope so. And this is not...
Here's part of the discussion I had with the family here just a little bit earlier. To be honest with you, if somebody would come in here and offer them enough money, they would sell the racetrack. There's no doubt about that. They would do it. But the problem is they haven't offered them enough money for this racetrack. And why would you give it up for cheap? This racetrack has such a great history in motorsports from all the way back. I think it was 1962 when Lanny opened this racetrack. Lanny and Beverly ran this racetrack for many and many years. LR, Marcy, and Martin are running the racetrack now. But listen, as we've talked about many times on this show, promoting weekly racing is not very profitable anymore. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if most track promoters have to reach in their pocket and pull money out of their pocket after a weekly show. I hate to say it, but what happens if everybody starts going to specials? What happens to the weekly racer, the person that wants to race every week? What happens to those folks? That's the question I have right now. If you don't have weekly racing and racetracks go to specials only, what happens to the local racer? Kirk, you got an answer for that one?
Well, I mean, that's a big challenge. There's no doubt about it. I don't think weekly racing is going to completely go away. But there's going to be a handful of racetracks that can afford to run weekly races, and that's where everybody will gravitate to. There just won't be as many operations as we've seen in the past. There's not as many weekly racers as we've seen in the past either. So I don't think weekly racing is going to completely go away. We're just going to have far fewer racetracks that are going to stage weekly events.
A limited amount of racetracks are going to do the weekly show. Only the tracks that have... The tracks that survive with weekly racing are the tracks out in the rural areas for the most part. Wouldn't you agree with that, Kurt?
Yeah, where there's no other competition for entertainment in places where it's the big stage in town for per se. But you get in the big city, that's where it becomes really tough. And, the expenses of operating a racetrack are going up. And it's just hard to charge people more in admission prices to get in and try to make it work.
How much is the most you would pay to go watch a weekly show, Kurt?
$10. Just to watch weekly races? That's what I would spend as a fan. $10, $12?
I think me personally, I would spend $12 or $13 to go watch a weekly show. I don't know about anybody else out there. What would they pay to go watch a weekly show? At just a weekly show, not a special, just a weekly show. How many people, how much would they spend to go watch a standard weekly show at your local racetrack? That's the question to the fans out there today. We'd like to hear from you. If you can put up the phone number, Todd, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We'll take some calls here in a little bit. If Lanny doesn't show up, I thought I just heard his voice here a little bit ago. So he might show up here at the last second. So we'll have to see how that goes. Kirk, I'm a little excited to see Anthony Macri in that Silver Crown car at Springfield Mile this Saturday, October 15th. Pete put that up there. There's a nice little link that he put up there as well. What do you think about Anthony Macri? Is he going to do any good in a Silver Crown car, do you think?
I don't know. We're going to find out. That's his first time, right, driving a Silver Crown car?
It is.
I'll bet he does fairly well, but I don't know what kind of – I haven't looked to see the ride that he's in, just how competitive that is. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see him try that out for the first time on the mile. This is an event that was supposed to have been held back in August but got rained out. And this is the second time in the last couple of years this event's going to be in October out at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. But, yeah, that's something we can kind of keep an eye on during the day while I get ready to go out to Lakeside Speedway tomorrow night.
Big race tomorrow at Lakeside, that's for sure.
Yeah, no. We've got I-80 tomorrow night.
Tonight.
No, it's tonight.
Sorry. I-80 is tonight.
That's right.
Right. Tonight is I-80, and tomorrow night is
Lakeside.
I keep forgetting what day it is. You know, every day we're doing this show. So
well,
it's hard to
this year, Lakeside.
Kirk, you know, I think what some of the people are saying on the chat room right now, and I don't know if you're watching it or not, but I think you're a little tight, Kirk. I think you're a tight ass.
10 to 20 is what people are. That's your.
Most people are saying 10 to 15. No more than $15 a week.
No more than 20.
Jerome said, I would pay 20 to get into a good weekly show all year round. Now, what is a good weekly show? That's the question.
You want my
definition? How many? Here's the question I have to the listeners out there right now. How many classes would you want to see for that amount of money? That's the question.
I'd want to see good drivers and at least a headline division like modifieds or A mods or late models, something like that as a premier division. If I were going
to
spend $15 or $20 to get in,
we need to take a break because LR just showed up, and I'm so happy that he did. And we're going to visit with the man behind the scenes here at Devil's Bowl Speedway. Him and his son, they're doing a great job with this place since the passing of his mom and dad. And we're going to talk to him next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
Here we go.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from Devil's Bowl Speedway. And I am very happy that a longtime friend of the Racing Boys, and man, we did the broadcast for you guys for many years up there at the Chili Bowl and the Shootout. And we kind of miss doing that a little bit, to be honest with you, a little bit. But
we get to spend together, so
right, I miss it too. So, LR, you know, let's just talk about this weekend, the Winter Nationals. You're thinking that we might have nearly 100 cars tonight, huh?
100 sprint cars. We'll have well over 100 race cars. I'm running five different classes, and we used to do this years back. And with what's going on and everything, I just want to make sure everybody got a chance to run the Winter Nationals, the whole Winter Nationals, like it used to be.
Yeah. Let me ask you, as far as, there's a lot of rumors running around, you know, about Devil's Bowl being sold, but it hasn't been sold yet, right?
I don't have no money. Yeah. You know me, if we had money, we wouldn't be here. They're talking about it. Me and Mama's worked on this deal for 3.5-4 years now. And we aren't one to sell, but when they offer just goofy, crazy money like they're offering, you know, you can't. That'd be where two idiots meet, one for offering that much and one for not taking it, and I don't want to be one of those guys.
Let me ask you a personal question here. You know, back in the day, back in the 70s and the 80s, local racetracks in the 60s, tracks thrived on weekly racing, right? But right now, we're seeing a trend where weekly racing is kind of taking a hit. And what do you think that is all about, really?
Well, I think promoters and racers are both to blame. You know, nowadays you don't build your car. You go buy your car, and that's expensive. And then promoters, in order to get their fans in there, they think they got to pay $20,000 to win, you know, $5,000 for second and so on. And I don't think that way. I think you ought to put a little bit at the top three, you know, and give them a trophy. But the other guys that come, the guy that ran last, he's got to make money too. It cost him just as much to get here as it did the other guy. And so I think we're both at fault. But now I'm in an area where there's 200 restaurants within 4 miles of me.
Right.
And numerous venues. I don't know how many venues we have in the Metroplex now. So, and then the people, you know, it takes an hour and a half, 2 hours to get home after work. People are too busy on a Friday or Saturday night. Friday, they don't get home till 8 o'clock at night from work.
Traffic's terrible down here.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like I've never seen it before in my life. Plus, people are just way too busy now. And then you're strapped, you know, and this is one of the cheapest forms of entertainment anywhere. And I don't know. I just think they're too busy. Then you got the streaming services. And I'm one of those. I had to go along with it because, I mean, it just helps my income, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the cost of racing is getting out of control a little bit? Some of these teams, you know, I say it all the time. Modified racing is a great example. USMTS, USRA, the cost of those race cars are through the roof. And do you think it's getting a little too expensive?
Well, just run the mill. USMTS car cost you $85,000.
Right.
You know, and that's just the car. Yeah, it's gotten out of control. You know, when you start putting limitations on them and cubic inches and this and that on them, you actually run the price up. You know, it's a lot cheaper just to go if you so many cubic inches. If you want to spend that much on your head, spend that much on your heads, but this is all you're going to get out of it. And then you take and limit the exhaust they can put out. Then you solve the whole problem. You can spend a lot of money on your motor, and you're not going to get any more out of it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you, but we're thankful that you got the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour down there. You've been very loyal to Emmett and their family for many, many years. The Winter Nationals this weekend. Talk about your relationship with the Hahn family and what it's meant to you guys over the years.
Oh, well, we've been partners for a long time out there in Tulsa and then on the ASCS deal. You know, back when Emmett started the 360 deal, it's a good deal because the 360s were like 20,000 and the 410s were 50. Now they're hitting $10,000 apart from the 410s, and you run them for twice the money with the 410. So, like I say, when you went to limited them, you know, it costs you just as much money to build either one. We've been loyal. Emmett created and Daddy created that 360 class, and I mean, it's very popular all around the country, but it's still a money machine.
So I'm going to ask you another personal question. I don't mean to go there, but let me ask you this. How difficult is it without Lanny and Beverly here to run this place?
Well, all the things that, you know, I work 24 hours a day just mowing grass and taking care of the track, fixing tractors and all. Really didn't ever worry about the promotions and the overheads and people not showing up, not calling in, all that. Well, when Daddy passed away, I got about half of that. And then Mama took care of the office and everything. Well, now that she's gone away, Martin and Amanda and Pam, I have to take care of the office, and Allison, she runs it on Saturday night. And so, yeah, it was kind of, they didn't ease us into it. It was just kind of dropped on us. And, it's been, I don't know how they've done it. I run back and forth a lot every week, and I'll see my sister and do my banking business and whatnot. But I don't know how they did it all them years. Man, it's tough.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of industrial parks rolling in around this place. And I'm pretty confident that's probably what they want to do right here, probably put another industrial park in. There's a ton of them over there, a ton of brand new buildings. And that's probably who wants to build over here, don't they? They want to take this land and probably put an industrial park, or do you know?
I don't know. It's these loan companies, they loan these people. There's 220 acres that backs up to mine that the city is going to make industrial, zone industrial, I think, next week. And they bought it 8 years ago. So it's landholding companies that just buy the land and set on it, and just when the time's right, they'll resell it. Now, the guy that I'm messing with, he builds, their company actually builds those buildings. They build them, rent them out, get them going, and sell them. And like I say, he's been, all that money was appropriated like 5 years ago. We get a new president, everything goes south, and now everybody's just put their pencils down, kind of wait and see what happens in November.
Do you think that because of how difficult it is to promote weekly racing, is that part of the reason for considering to get out of this business?
Well, I'm not getting out. I got another racetrack.
That's true, right?
Yeah, I'm not getting out. But, you know, when everybody was in an open trailer, let's say everybody back in the day, I had 109 cars one time in the infield here. But they were all open trailers. Well, that's half of your three-quarter of your advertising going down the highway, you know. And now it's so expensive to advertise on TV here or radio. You know, if you don't play with the ball, they ain't going to put you on. So we do stuff like you're doing right here on Facebook, because that's the only place we can afford to advertise.
Yeah. There's no doubt, living in the Texas metropolitan, newspapers are probably really expensive. television ads are really expensive. Radio ads are really expensive.
Even Texas Motor Speedway don't get any coverage now, you know. No, it's the big four sports in this area. So it's hard for us to get coverage about the racing down here. We got like seven tracks around here within 100 miles. And we got a lot of people that come every Saturday night. There ain't nothing ever said about it. All they're trying to do is put more stuff on us to close us down, you know, trying to close us down.
So let me ask you this. The Chili Bowl and the Shootout, that's got to be one of your toughest jobs of the year, right? Going up there and dealing with that. Or do you enjoy that more than doing the weekly grind here at the Bowl?
Well, no, I enjoy going up there. I do. And that's a good problem to have, you know. It's a lot of work. I mean, most of the big stuff's done now. So, you know, you've been up there and watched it. It goes like clockwork. Mm-hmm. And where I used to do a lot of the doves and the blading and all that, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, I just kind of like working on a John Deere tractor.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. So,
you out back.
Right. Hanging out back. Just hanging out. Just hanging out with your friends. That's the biggest part about it, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. One time a year, I get to see a lot of people that we don't get to see.
It's really a social event more than it is anything, isn't it?
We had that 600 here last week, and there was over 100 campers. I mean, 100 campers plus 147 race cars. And, but it was a 3-day good time because I've seen people I hadn't seen since last year. Yeah. And just met them past 10 years. And, yeah, so we had a good time fished in the pond and everything. Yeah, it's a big social deal. Yeah.
How did that enduro go last week?
That's the craziest, funnest race I've ever watched.
Really?
And Tom Lorenz, he races for me. He's raced here for 40 years. And he says that's the most fun he's ever had in a race car. Mm. And he had two of them out there. He ran fourth Friday night, but he got stuck up there on the corner Saturday night. And, yeah, it's an old track. Mark did a great job on the track. A little wavy Friday night, Saturday night. It was like it ended up looking like it looks right now. They run a 5 wide dead on the wood in the corners, hoping them old cars would stick. And oh, it was some good stuff. It was some real.
How many laps was that race?
300 each time. And the second place car, I think, made 298. And then Tom made 293. He had a flat tire. And
Do you let people ride with people in the cars too?
Steve, Tom's brother, rode with his Tim Clonch in his factory stock. And we couldn't wipe that smile off his face for a week. He was smiling all week long.
You know, I ran one of those enduros back in the 80s, a track, Adrian Speedway. I don't know if you remember Adrian Speedway, but it was just outside of Kansas City. And they would let you have passengers in there. And I just kept going in and grabbing people and going back out on the track. And I ended up running second in that deal. And it was one of the – I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if you do the same thing here or not. But when cars break down on the racetrack, do people go out there and push them off the racetrack?
We have a push truck that's built especially for this. And this guy is strapped in with a helmet and everything. And if you stall on a track, son, he gets to racing with the other 120 cars, 130 cars on the track, and works his way down behind you and hits you in the ass end, and here we go.
Off you go.
Wherever you're going, the bottom pit or top pit, you steer it. But I'm going about 50 miles an hour, flat on the wood. We had rubber on the pit road where they were turning the corner because he's pushing them off so fast.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. The pit road was rubbered up.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If for some reason, I'm just going to ask you, if for some reason you end up selling the Bowl, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Just retire?
No, I like fishing at Texoma. You know that.
Yeah.
My sister's got a place up there. We probably won't ever sell it. Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I remember right, did your dad open this racetrack up in 62?
No, it was over at John West and Buckner, and it was, hold on.
All right, incoming.
It was That's from Tulsa. Somebody from Tulsa. It was in a rock quarry. Well, they moved it out here in 67, and Daddy bought it, actually went in partners with Cotton Farmer in 71 and bought it outright in 72. The back straightaway was where the hill is on the back straightaway. So we went out around the hill and made the track bigger. There's nothing here that's here except one old well house when I moved here in 83. And we tore the bleachers down, Skip Wilson and I. We tore them all down and redid them. And
you need to get that?
I don't know. He can wait.
Okay.
And so we built and built and built on it. Matter of fact, they when Mom and Daddy passed away, put it all on trust and everything, so we had to get evaluated. You know, we have maybe, because we built it all ourselves. That mean? Today?
It would cost you a fortune to build this place now.
I told them, you know, Texas Motor Speedway, I was out there when they built that, $18 million. So you tell me.
You know, it was a little sad when Lanny had to close down OKC up there. That was sad, wasn't it?
Well, it was the only thing that Oklahoma City had. It actually made the city money and had a great following. I mean, it was like clockwork, and we did a good job for them up there. I mean, I don't see why they would want to do something like that, but that's the way our politics are. Yeah. I got friends that are city officials too, councilmen and whatnot. I don't know. I can't hardly sit in on that meeting.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you this, my friend. You've been a friend for a long time. You've been very good to me and Racing Boys over the years. If for some reason you do sell, I only want the best for you and your family. And I think a lot of people feel like that, right? You know, because you've put your dues in here. You say you moved here in 83. Yeah. Your dad started running this place, what, 67, right?
72.
Or 72. Yeah. So I think everybody would be happy for you guys if you were able to do that.
You know, the other day they were talking about, you know, Tracy's had her track for a long time, sold it.
That was sad.
Yeah, it was sad, but she's like I am. You can't, you know,
that'd
be for two fools met. But I asked them, they were asking how long a privately owned speedway has been in business. I don't know if any has been in business as long as Lot. 61.
Daddy. Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking. 61.
Yeah, babe. Daddy bought it in 1961. I was born in 61. And has had it ever since. And run every season. Every season.
Somebody is really wanting to know.
Okay, hold on.
All right, we're going to let him answer the phone real quick. But let me tell you something. The Edwards family has done more for motorsports than just about any other family in the business. I'm going to say that between Devil's Bowl, Lawton, Oklahoma City, RPM, Battlegrounds, Wichita's, you've done it everywhere. And well, let me ask you this. What was the number one thing that you learned from your daddy?
Hustle.
Oh no.
I got 2 hours sleep last night. You got to hustle every day. You got to take care of your business. You got to take care of your equipment. You got to work every day.
Yeah. Well, LR, all I want to do is just tell you how grateful I am that the way you've been. I know that we were partners on that Chili Bowl shootout broadcast for many years. And to be honest with you, I wish we would have never sold it, because I'd be making a lot more money right now.
That shootout now, that's a grind.
Right.
Oh, man. Them
15 hours a day.
Oh, and them guys are out there on that track and all thing, man. You talk about dedicated. Yeah.
So, Maybe you just drop your line into a pond and just retire and just go fishing for the rest of your life, maybe.
Well, I get bored. I like working.
Yeah.
I like working.
You're not afraid of work.
No. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what? I'm on the air 6 days a week now doing these podcasts.
The more now than you work.
I am. I'm working a little harder. But
foot.
You know what the thing about it is, though? I get to sleep in my own bed every night.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Now, that's, I go to Lawton sometimes, and I drive back the same day because I sleep in the same bed. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you, my friend. You've always been a great, great asset to the Racing Boys, and we can't thank you enough. All right? All right. There you have it, LR, right here on Mostly Motorsports. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
1 minute, 1 minute.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, Kirk Elliott, and Todd Surprise back in the Race Boys studio. And there you have it. You heard it here first, right on Racing Boys. Devil's Bowl has not been sold. And they've been trying to work on this deal for the last 3 or 4 years, and it just hasn't came through yet, Kirk. But the good news is there's probably a good chance this racetrack might be here next year. How about that, Kirk?
Yeah, absolutely. The longer we have it around, the better, isn't it? We just don't know how much longer that will be. But that was a very interesting, fascinating interview you had with Lanny Ross Edwards there. Boy, he's a chip off the old block, isn't he?
He's a lot like his daddy. Yeah, no doubt about it.
And
yeah,
we missed Lanny and Beverly. We lost Beverly in March 1st early this year. And let's see, Lanny's been gone now for 6 years. That's hard to believe. But Lanny Ross Edwards and, you know, the whole rest of the Edwards family has done a great job operating Lawton Speedway up in Oklahoma, and sounds like that's going to be around a long time. So
they're not going to get rid of Lawton.
Now, you know, Lanny Ross Edwards, I don't think he's going to go fishing or go kick back anytime soon either. He's still going to be working for the rest of his life.
He'll probably move up to Lawton.
Yeah.
You know, if he sells, I don't know if you know this, Kirk, but Lanny Ross lives right next door to Devil's Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that when they sell this property, his house is probably going to be a part of that.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. That, you know, that's really smart to live right close to where you work, isn't it? You get up and you're right there. So,
yeah.
You don't have to fight the traffic and then Dallas Metroplex. And, you know, that's. Hey, he made one comment. It sounds familiar here in Kansas City, too. He said the local media doesn't even cover Texas Motor Speedway anymore. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, because the local media doesn't even cover Kansas Speedway in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirk, I think we saw one television station out there the weekend of the Kansas Speedway race, didn't we?
Right. And there was there were two out there, but only one of them doing. So Channel 41 was out there because the one broadcaster, she was the actual starter of the, you know, she was the ceremony person for the Xfinity race. I talked to her in pit lane, and she's the one who's on, you know, she's the local media person there. So I don't know if they're trying to get them to come out and do anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm like you when I first started working for Racing Boys, when I was
11 years ago.
Yeah. When I walk into that media center, it was the who's who of media in Kansas City.
Right.
The top.
Right.
The
Everybody was there.
The top dogs. And like I said, that was 10 years after the track had already, or 7 years after the track had already been open. So it's not like, but it has really fallen in the last 2 years out there as far as coverage. And I don't know if that's across the United States, if that's how it's working, you know, they're just not covering it. Like he said, the big four get the coverage, and that's kind of what happens, you know.
Well, you know, there's a big story that went out here just a few years ago. What's happened to NASCAR? NASCAR has died. And once they got that message, then they never realized that it may be on its way back some, but that once they heard the message that NASCAR is dead and gone, they just, okay, we're gone. So,
yeah.
I think, Kirk, what you say is real accurate, to be honest with you. I think that people think that people aren't interested in NASCAR, and to be honest with you, every time we talk about it, you can just watch our numbers plummet as we talk about NASCAR, and there are more people want to talk about sprint car racing, and that's what we love. We love sprint car racing as much as anything, and we love late model racing, and we like to talk about those two probably more than anything else, right? But I'm with you, Kirk. I think your statement rings true. I think that a lot of people think that NASCAR is dead. But to be honest with you, NASCAR is going through a resurgence right now. You see more people in the grandstands than you've ever seen in the last 2 or 3 years. Would you agree with that, Kirk?
I would agree with that, and that's the point I was trying to make. The local media hasn't gotten that message yet. They just got the message a few years ago that NASCAR's dead and gone, and they didn't pick up that maybe it's coming back. It is coming back a little bit. So, you know, there's that. But, hey, here in Kansas City, we got a big event tomorrow night out here to Lakeside Speedway. The World Outlaws guys are, in my mind, as big as stars in a lot of ways as big as some of these NASCAR guys coming in. So we got a big high star event here in Kansas City tomorrow night, tonight at I-80 Speedway.
Right. Ethan says that you all are lucky. You all are lucky out there. A weekly grandstand ticket here is $20 and $18 on the cheap. Pit passes are $45 to $50. Wow. Where is that, Ethan? I'm not sure exactly where you're living at.
I am cheap.
You are cheap, Kirk. You're a cheap.
$10 or $12, that ain't gonna get you. That wouldn't buy you a hamburger and fries at a lot of places.
Kirk, you said $10.
I said $10. And I amended that to $12. But that's still pretty cheap.
I never heard you amend it to $12.
Yeah, he went to $12 after we started pressing it.
$10 or $12.
After he started.
Well,
I brought
$12. I spent $12 to see a movie here a couple of weeks ago. So maybe we'll get it up there. But how much do you spend on live streaming services?
Yeah, that's the thing. I know the live streaming thing is great and everybody, but between your cable bill, let's say you cut your cable and you go live streaming, but heck, with all the streaming with the Paramount and the Sony's and all, I don't know how people are saving.
Can't afford to do them all.
Yeah. Right? I just don't. I mean, there's some, your entertainment dollar is being stretched so thin nowadays. I can see where tracks are really struggling with.
Well, in our business, we have to buy all the streams because
it's part of the.
I like what Tammy had to say here, and Tammy, God bless you for being there every day for us. We really appreciate Tammy as much as anybody that chimes in. Pete as well, they're there every day, and we can't thank you guys enough for being a part of it. Tammy said, for the most part, the back gate mentality has set in. In central PA and New Jersey, like some parts of the country, especially in the South, where they have 6 or 7 divisions, that time trial on a weekly basis. Let me tell you something, Tammy. If I went to a racetrack and they had 6 or 7 divisions and they time trialed every one of those divisions, I'd walk out. There's no way that I would stay. And I think I know Tammy well enough to know that Tammy doesn't like to go to racetracks that have 6 or 7 divisions. And if they qualify at every division, well, that's even worse in my eyes. How about you, Kurt?
Yeah, I don't want to sit through time. The only place where I will watch the time trials is the Knoxville Nationals because of how much of an impact that has on the whole week for the competitors up there. But typically, I don't like to watch time trials, just the major events. That's it.
Oh, Pete chimed in. He said 410 sprints are the support class to Northeast Dirt Modifieds at Port Royal tonight. The 410s are making up Rainout Labor Day show. Watch it on Flow.
Wow, so that'll be good. Anybody mentions Port Royal Speedway, I'm in.
Right.
We'll have that on.
that is some of the best racing there is, period. Here's another comment from Tammy. She says most tracks in my area charge $20 for weekly shows, but it is unusual for 410 sprint cars or DLMS as the headline with only one support division. Well worth it, in my opinion, $20, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you see a high
you
level.
You are a tight ass.
If it's a high-level headline division on a weekly basis that brings in star power with one or two support divisions and you get me in and out in 2-3 hours, I'll spend that kind of money.
Ethan's out in California. So, Ethan, thank you so much for being a great supporter of the show as well. You're here just about every day as well, and we want to thank you, Dave Tyson, as well. Dave Tyson says Kirk demands the senior discount.
I sometimes forget to ask for the senior discount places that I go, but I could get it. I could get discounts in a lot of different ways if I just ask for it, but I never think about it a lot of times.
I'm kind of the same way, to be honest with you. All right. Well, good show, man. That was really good to have Lanny Ross on. to kind of stomp down the rumors of Devil's Bowl being sold, wasn't it? I thought that was good.
Yeah. Well, if it's not, you know, there's always a possibility somebody could come to him tomorrow and say, hey, you know, how about this amount of money? Then they could say yes. So it could happen.
And who would blame him? Who would blame him?
No, I don't blame him.
No.
I mean,
listen, the kind of money that I'm hearing that they're offering for this facility, Kirk, is real money.
I mean, you'd have to be insane to turn some of, you know, what eventually will be offered, I would think.
I think the amount of money this place would demand would be like where you could take care of a couple generations in the future.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's where it's at. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, the chances of us seeing racing next year at Devil's Bowl Speedway is certainly a lot better than we thought here just a couple of weeks ago. That's for sure. And a reminder again, after this weekend, on the 28th and 29th of this month, the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Series will be at Devil's Bowl Speedway to close out the season. So this is not the last weekend of the year at Devil's Bowl.
Right. Kirk, we probably ought to remind everybody that out at Sweet Springs, they've got the Show Me Showdown going on this weekend, right?
They do. They ran three of the six classes last night. They'll run the other three classes tonight. Cameron Key won the Outlaw non-wing feature last night, holding off Jackson Frisbee. Brecken Reese started 21st and ended up third, and Reese won the A-class feature event last night. While in the sportsman division, it was Jared Bledsoe. So three winners as the Show Me Showdown in memory of Dean Hathman got underway last night at Sweet Springs. So that's always a big event. We used to cover that event there.
Oh, yeah, we used to do that event live. But listen, folks, if you're into micro racing or open wheel racing and you're not going to I-80 tonight, do yourself a favor. Go out to Sweet Springs. It's not a bad drive. I think it's exit 62 or something like that.
Yep.
Just take I-70 east until you get to Sweet Springs. Get off the highway. It's just right off the highway. You turn left. You go about a quarter of a mile. The racetrack's right there on your left-hand side. You can't miss it. They put on a great show there at Sweet Springs Motorsports Complex. So get out there and check it out. It'll be a good show for you tonight.
And if you can't go there in person, the Cushion is doing the live video this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Our good friends,
yep.
Ian and Brian from the Cushion are doing that broadcast for you. So,
yep.
All right. Well, that is it for today. Don't forget tomorrow morning, Track Talk with the Racing Boys. Kirk and I have been doing that show over on Sports Radio 810 WHB for the last 22 years together. And we hope that you'll join us tomorrow. We'll play some of the replays, some of the sound that we accumulated from this week on Mostly Motorsports. We'll also have Lee Spencer in to talk a little bit of NASCAR with us as well. It's all tomorrow. It starts at 8 a.m. Central Time right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. We hope that you'll join us. And you can listen on Sports Radio 810 WHB for the first hour. The second hour is right here on our social media pages. So you'll have to watch the second hour through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or RacingBoys.com. So check it out tomorrow, 8 a.m. Central Time. We hope that you'll join us, Kirk Elliott, myself. Todd, thanks so much for coming in and filling in for our boy today. And I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Thankful that we have you around, man. We've been so blessed to have you all these years,
buddy. I appreciate the kind words, and anytime, my friend, anytime.
All right. Well, there you have it. Another Mostly Motorsports in the books. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Kirk Elliott, for Todd Surprise, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Track Talk on Sports Radio 810 WHB. See you then.